music, the words in the songs. That's a provocative song. It says, you got to think, are you going to be there? Do you know for sure you're going to be in heaven? I grew up in a church, in a religion. And we had all our little books. And we didn't much do this. This was, I went to their school even, and we didn't study this at all. But it was supposed to be based upon it. At any rate, religion, I had plenty of religion, but there was never this sense of knowing you're going to heaven. How audacious of you to assume you could know. Well, the Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. It's God's intention that you and I would know with surety, having that assurance I'm heaven bound. You live differently. You don't live carelessly. Well, I can sin all I want, because after all, I'm going to. No, no, no. You live for Christ. You live for God. It's a wonderful thing to live the Christian life. But are you going to heaven? Do you know? Will you be there? All those years, I did not know. And the truth was that if I'd have died, I'd have gone straight to hell. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. I'd have died in my sins. I would have suffered the penalties of my sins. But that's why Jesus came, so we don't have to. God so loved the world, John 3:16 tells us, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, on the cross, should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it was this day, when I was a 23-year-old man, married with children, that I came to that understanding that I was a sinner headed for hell. I don't care, all that religion didn't help me one bit. Religion doesn't save. Churches don't save. If you don't have the assurance this morning that you're going to heaven, can I tell you, Grace Baptist Church is not going to save you. Jesus is the Savior. We sing about him. He's to be lifted up. He's the one that hung on the cross, bore all our sins in his body on the tree, Peter tells us in the Bible. He had every one of my sins. He paid the debt in full. And it was for me and for you and for anybody else. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I called in faith, acknowledging I had nothing to offer a holy God. Do you know that the Bible says all our righteousnesses are but filthy rags in the sight of the Lord? That doesn't mean he doesn't want you to do good, because it doesn't matter. No, it does. And we should do good. But that there is such a contrast between a holy and perfect God, the Creator, and sinful man, that we have nothing to offer him of ourselves. The very best of us here, and some wonderful people here, collectively put all your goodnesses, good deeds, and good thoughts together, and you couldn't pay the sin's debt for any one individual at all. We needed Jesus. And God sent Jesus to the cross. And he suffered on that cross. He took our hell, what we deserve, he took it from us so that we, by faith, can receive the free gift he offers us. It is a gift of God. The Bible tells us, for by grace he is saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. There'll be nobody boasting in heaven. You walk around heaven, you'll not see anybody. Well, how'd you get here? Well, let me tell you what I did, how good I am, and how good I was. No. Anyone that is in heaven, it's because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And you ask him why you're here, how'd you get here? Everybody will point to Jesus because of what he did. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. Child of God, forgiven. And out of thankfulness and love for such a holy, wonderful, merciful, forgiving God, we want to live a life that's pleasing to him. And it's a decision you and I make every day. We battle the flesh and the selfishness of our carnal nature. and choose rather to live for God today. And when we do, the blessings abound. But I can tell you that it's not without suffering. There's suffering and pain in this life. Do you know that it's ordained of God that you and I would experience suffering? Jesus suffered. Are we greater than he? Notice a lot of lessons to be learned in suffering in this life. I mean, you take the basic, simple instruction of a father instructing his unruly child. The Bible instructs him to give him some spankings. Not out of control, not in abuse like the world is so full of, but in love and as a responsible father administering what? Some pain. Ow! Registers in the brain. Follow it up with love. Don't do that again, son. Bible says that for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he does bring suffering as a chastening tool in our lives to nurture us and grow us up to be the children we should be and have the effect in this world we're to have. But there's suffering beyond correction. There's some hard things that you and I can go through. The Christian life contains suffering. He never promised you a rose garden in this life, but there are blessings that abound in this life. Suffering comes in all kinds of forms, physical forms, diseases. There ain't one here that doesn't know somebody, close, family member, that doesn't have cancer. You may yourself have cancer. Parkinson's. The whole list, a slew of diseases. Some suffering that comes with that. Physical, accidental injuries, suffering. Some long-term. Brain injuries, long-term. Some suffering goes with that. Pain. Aging pains. Could I get an amen? Amen. You just don't jump up from the chair like you used to. Thursday night, we have our prayer meeting. A little Bible study and prayer meeting. And those that can, get down on their knees. Others stay, remain seated because they can't. They can't get back up physically. But let me tell you something. When you go to get back up, you can scan the crowd. They get up a lot slower than they went down. Physical pain, emotional pain, grief. Many here grieve over loss. We've lost several in our congregation over this past year. It's hard. Sad, loss, grieving, pain, emotional pain, mental anguish. You know, I've cited before, there's a fellow lived over here in Westbrook. He had a motorcycle accident, 25 years old. My Sarah took care of him for several years. And he was able to, he had a wife, a couple kids, but he was quadriplegic. And you have to imagine that you can't do anything for yourself. Your entire life is a dependency upon somebody else. That's mental anguish. I think I've shared with you before one time, his daughter, all excited, dressed up fancy, going to the father-daughter banquet. They dressed Mark Harmon, they dressed him up fancy with tie and everything in his wheelchair in the morning because they couldn't change him later for when a couple were coming to drive his van that would accommodate his wheelchair to go. With his daughter, Hannah. And he sat there all day long, waiting anxiously. The couple came and the van would not start. They tried over and over again to get that thing to start. It wouldn't start. Finally, Mark says, "Take her." I thought about that. Pain, suffering. That was mental anguish. Physical, emotional, financial. Recently, we had tornadoes in Kentucky and Illinois. Some of those people lost everything that they had. There's pain, there's suffering in this life. You know that Job suffered, experienced all three. Go to the book of Job. We won't camp there. It's a long book, 42 chapters. But let's read a little bit here to get an idea about this Job. We're told in chapter 1 of Job, the book just before Psalms, your book file, a Bible opens right to the middle around Psalms. Go to the book before that. First chapter, Job, in chapter 1, verse 2, it says, and there were born unto him, unto Job, 7 sons and 3 daughters. So he had a good family, right? Blessed. His substance, what he possessed, his wealth, also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men in the east. This guy had it going on. God has so richly blessed him. And in one day, God bragged about him to Satan. And Satan said, that's because you treat him so good. He's so blessed. Let me at him. All right, you have at him. God gave Satan license to bring it upon him, but not his body. Don't touch his body. In one day, he lost all of his wealth, all of his cattle, all of his animals. And in the same day, the winds blew, the roof fell, and killed all 10 of his kids. All in chapter 1. We'll take time to read it. In one day. Emotional. The loss. The financial. Everything he had. And do you know what? God still could brag on him. He had the right response as God, even in spite of all that suffering. And Satan came back and said, yeah, well, that's because you wouldn't let me touch him. Or you can touch him, but don't kill him. And he brought, the Bible tells in chapter 2, of the sore boils from head to toe, that he would scrape them with the potsherds, looking for relief from pain, physical pain, galore. And he responded in a way that was pleasing to God. No pain, sufferings, they come into the Christian life. You don't get saved and all of a sudden everything's hunky-dory and no problems. You know, anybody gives you that type of wealth and prosperity theology is lying to you. Oh, if you'll please God, if you'll do this, if you'll do that, and if you'll put money here, God will bless you. We'll send you this, we'll send you this. That's not of God. Because in truth, there's suffering in this life. Job experienced all three, physical, emotional, financial. No one likes suffering. Please, Lord, take it away. Or perhaps, why me? Why do I deserve all this pain and suffering? Doesn't God care? Does he fall asleep? Does he forget about me? No. No, he never forgets about you. In fact, Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Never leave thee nor forsake thee. God will never leave you or forsake you. And no one likes it. But suffering is ordained of God. Philippians 1:29 says this, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. God will allow suffering and pain in your life. Could be any of these particular areas we mentioned, maybe some other areas. It's ordained of God. He allows it. He doesn't fall asleep. He allows it in your life for purpose. God does nothing without purpose. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, Pastor Tom read this just a little bit ago. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Don't be all shook up. God allowed it. And when you can acknowledge it as God that's in control of all things, and he doeth all things well, the Bible tells us, that he has purpose and reason. He allowed this in my life for a reason. My response, my good, proper response is what he's looking for. Like Job did. There's always someone who suffers more. Bear that in mind. Compare, if you dare, with others. I think of this fellow I'd mentioned before, Mark Harmon. And the life that he experienced from his 20, he was 25 when he had that motorcycle accident. Made him a quadriplegic. All the rest of his life, that suffering, but it has purpose. God always has purpose. When I think of him and I think of the little things that I go through, I say, oh, dear God, forgive me for complaining. People of third world countries, the poverty they experience. I've been to a few. I've seen what they don't have, how they live. Filthy, the poverty, the smells. We are so rich here. The poorest of us here are rich compared to those in other countries. The Ukrainian people, I say they're going through some suffering. The earthquake victims in Turkey and Syria, they're going through some suffering, more than I know, more than I experience. There's always someone that suffers more than you. The devil would have you and I to focus on ourselves. Poor me. Woe is me. Doesn't God care? Because it renders you useless to God and his purposes and plans. That's why the devil wants you to be ineffective. Wallow in your pains and sufferings. That's not the response God is looking for. Some even gave their lives. We won't take time, though I had planned to. The book of Acts chapter 7, go back to Stephen, the first recorded martyr for Christ's sake. He gave his life. I'd not have to give my life. Yet. That reminds me of the old duffer on the porch of this little town. A guy drives into town, big slick car, rolls down his window, well, with the button. Hey, old timer, you lived here all your life? Not yet. Stephen gave his life up. John the Baptist lost his head for God, for Christ. Who are we to complain? Put things in perspective. There's always somebody that has worse. Suffering has a purpose. And I think it's important to note a few of these this morning. Number one, God's glory. Providing for our response that it's correct. It is so important. And now back in Job, after he had lost that day and lost all his possessions, and he lost all 10 of his children in one day. The end of that chapter, chapter 1, it says this. Verse 20 and 21. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground. Broken. And worshipped. What? God let this happen in his life? Took all 10 of his kids? You mean to tell me he fell down in terrible grief? Then he worshipped as God. Verse 21 says, and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So there's a proper response that God is looking for, that he expects of you and I as we suffer, whatever it may be. That God would get glory out of my life, whatever he's called me to go through. And by the way, he never lets you go through it alone. His hand is always extended. Isn't that like the father with the little kid? Dad puts his hand out, help him. Jump over a puddle. Of course, the kid's aiming right for the middle of it. But dad's here, an extended hand. He says, hold my hand. God says to you and I, in all of our pain and suffering, hold my hand. I'll help you. I'll encourage you. I'll undergird you. I'll give you what you need. You're going to come through this just fine. His purpose. God gets glory out of that. God got glory there. And remember that after in chapter 2 of Job, after Job now is in such physical pain, boils from head to toe. He can barely whimper. Well, he had a very encouraging wife. Chapter 2, verse 9, then said Job, his wife unto him, dost thou still retain that integrity? Curse God and die. Thank you, honey. You're an encouragement to me. You know what Job says? But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? God get glory out of this guy. Of course, God all-knowing, omniscient, knew in advance. In fact, back in chapter 1, that whole ball of wax started because God was bragging on Job. In chapter 1, verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? And there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. He hates evil. Have you considered him? I get glory out of this man. And then the devil said, yeah, because you just so blessed him. Let me whack at him. And he whacked at him. Whacked hard. And yet his response was such that God received glory. Whatever God allows in your life, there's reason, there's purpose. It didn't just happen. It's ordained of God. He allows it. He allows Satan to buffet us at times. But there's reason. There's purpose. Be encouraged. You're going to need some help. But he's there. Reach for his hand. Stay in his word. Stay on your knees. Stay in the church. God has made provision to carry us through, that we might be shining lights for him, bringing him glory. That's one of the purposes of suffering and pain, if we have the right response. And for a testimony for Christ. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would. For time, I've not had you go to a bunch of verses, but I'd like you to see this one. Some I have written out, and I'll just quote to you for sake of time. But if you would, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and notice with me verses 8 to 10. Chapter 4, excuse me, verses 8 to 10. Here's Paul, the Apostle Paul, giving a testimony. He says, we are troubled on every side. And maybe we could raise our hand with that, you know. Yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. That his existence, his living inside of us is manifested. It's displayed. You can't argue with it. When somebody's going through something and they appear at peace, it's God working in their lives, strengthening them. Smile on their face, for goodness sakes. Don't you have a disease? Yes. God's given me great victory through it. Hallelujah. It's glory to God. It's a testimony for Christ. Hebrews chapter 11 lists all kinds of the saints, of martyrs, who had given their lives for Christ, for their stand for Christ. By faith, this one did this. By faith, that one. All by faith. By the way, you're saved by faith, not by your deeds. Don't think you're going to live good enough to get to heaven. The devil has floated this theology that there's some balance in heaven, and that you arrive there, you stand before God after you die, and all your good deeds will be on one side and all the bad deeds, and of course your good deeds will outweigh your bad. You never killed anybody. You never robbed a bank, stole a car. Surely, surely. So God will surely say, come on in. You have just demeaned the holiness of God, because God is holy and perfect. God makes no exceptions. What's he going to do with these? You're going to bring these sins into heaven? Heaven's a holy place. God is holy. There is no one sin will condemn you to hell. The Bible says, for you're condemned already. You need Christ to save you. Save you by faith, not by deeds. Don't rely on your good deeds, you're a good person to get you to heaven. You need Christ. There's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. One name, Jesus. Not Muhammad, and not all the others. Charles Taze, Russell, Joe Smith, or you give me the whole list. They're dead and gone. Jesus is alive. One name, Jesus. Faith saves. Faith in Christ. Not good deeds. Suffering has a purpose. We ought to be a testimony for Christ, what he's done for us. Glory to God, a testimony for Christ, for our own growth. You know, this guy, Henry Suso, he said this. A man who has not suffered, what does he know? Speaks volumes. We learn in our suffering. We learn. Again, like the little child, he's instructed. He has learned because dad followed the Bible and loved on him. Suffering. We will grow. 1 Peter 5:10 says, but the grace of all God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. God's working on every one of us. And sometimes it takes some suffering, some experiencing of pain. Again, emotional, physical, financial, whatever. Keeps me humble. Keeps us calling upon God. And may we respond in a way that brings God glory. And we grow each time. It's used to cause us to grow. 1 Peter. Let me say this. Harold Bosley said this. In suffering, one learns to pray best of all. You know, you learn a lot of things, but in suffering, that is such an accurate statement. You know, it's not like you drop down to your knees and say, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep me. You know, some simple prayer like that. You know, there's no real interaction with God. But now when you have a great need and you're suffering and you're hurting, maybe it's you, maybe it's your family member, you're broken for them. You need the hand of God to heal them and raise them up. You drop to your knees. How's the intensity of that prayer compared to now I lay me down to sleep? You learn to pray better. You learn a lot of things because you've been there. You've been through it. God allows things in your life for us to grow. Thank God for it. And also, for the sake of unity and care, it'll drive more compassion in us for others. 1 Corinthians 12:26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. It's not all about me and my suffering. Hey, there's others, my brothers and sisters, that are suffering. That's why we have this prayer list we update every week. Look at the size of that baby. A lot of names on there. We pray intercessory prayer on behalf of somebody else. It's not about me, Lord. There are times when I have a need, but Lord, this person needs healing. This person needs encouragement. This person needs comfort from grief. To care and have compassion for others. By nature, we're very selfish. Our carnal nature thinks of me. And if you don't have that perspective, don't think that came from you. That's because your mom and dad taught you, and you have learned from others. Thank God for them. So suffering always have a purpose. But God is pleased with our proper response. We're to accept it. Surrender to it. Stop fighting it and complaining about it. Take this from me, Lord. No, Lord, may I learn what you'd have me to learn. May you somehow get glory in my life as you allow me to go through this. There's an acknowledgement by faith that God's in control. If he didn't want you to have this or go through that, he wouldn't have had you go through this and have that. But he did. Accept it. Don't fight it. Don't shake your hand at God. Why, if there was a God, he'd never let this. How many times have you heard that? He would never let that happen. Hey, listen, the sufferings, the pain, disease, and all that comes in this life are a result of sin against a holy God. Adam and Eve were not to die. Their physical death came as a result of sin. They were cast out of the Garden of Eden. Otherwise, we could go over to Father Abraham. How you doing, Father Abraham? He'd still be here. No death. For as by one man, speaking of Adam's, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It's the truth, biblical truth. Well, let's close this up now, quickly. God is pleased with our proper response. Accept it. Surrender. Stop fighting, complaining about it. Lawrence, St. Lawrence, they call him St. Lawrence, said this, "Are you laying a feather bed for me? No, that shall not be. My Lord was stretched on a hard and painful tree." Before you start thinking you've suffered more, let me tell you, Jesus suffered more for you. Because he loves you. First Peter chapter 2, if you'll turn there, as I get ready to close here. And please notice I said I'm getting ready to close. I didn't say I was closing. No, we won't be long. First Peter chapter 2. I'd like you to see this verse. You know, such a thing as God's correction in our lives when we've done wrong. Verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. "But what glory is it if when we be buffeted," or we be experience pain, suffering, whatnot, "for your faults," you know, when God corrects, "for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." All right, he'll correct us. He said, but he's going beyond that. "Ye shall take it patiently." Well, you should. But aside from your faults, when you've done wrong and deserve it, "but when ye do well and suffer for it," because you're doing well, "ye take it patiently." This is acceptable with God. This is pleasing to God. Again, it all comes back to the response, how I respond to the things that God allows in my life. If I respond properly, God gets glory. I've grown. And by the way, I'll have a peace and a joy in my life, that others may see and glorify God. We're called to so light your light before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God, your Father which is in heaven. When you're going through it, God should get glory. Paul welcomed it, for goodness sakes. He says, that I may know him, Philippians chapter 3, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. We should identify with Christ as we're going through something. Lord, I know you've gone through a whole lot more than me, and now you're there to carry me through. It's such a peace, understanding and knowing that and grasping onto it, to that truth. Thomas Kempis said this, "Accept suffering graciously. When you have reached such a point, all misery will seem sweet, and you will relish it for Christ's sake and think that you have discovered paradise on earth. As long as you object to suffering, you will be ill at ease, and so accept it, and you will find peace." And it's all in perspective. The child of God is called to understand the truths and apply the truths to his life. And in the midst of whatever God has allowed him to go through, he can experience peace and even smile. But now the perspective says, poor me, God aside. Or maybe, no, God's in the picture. Why? Poor me. I'm suffering. I'm hurting. Doesn't anybody care? Doesn't God care? Perspective changes. Peace, no peace. Attitude. We're called to learn, to grow. Trust. You're all wrapped up in yourself, as the devil would have us. Acts chapter 5, verse 40 and 41 says, "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them," because they were preaching, preaching Jesus, "so they beat them. They commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. I'm not saying we're going to run out here. Well, I hope I suffer today. I hope I get a disease tomorrow. No. I am saying that as God allows things in our lives, we have a proper perspective towards a God, a trust in a holy God who knows everything and does all things well. He has purpose for this in my life. And I want to bring him glory. God, help me to have a proper response. The results are this: blessings for the believer. Blessings for the believer. James chapter 5. I've almost landed the plane. We're circling. We're almost landing. Hang with me. James chapter 5. Notice verse 10 and 11. It says, take my brethren, the prophets. In other words, consider these, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord. So they were a testimony for God, spoke of Christ, shared Jesus with people, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, verse 11, we count them happy which endure. God blesses his faithful kids, his faithful children. Happy are ye. And it continues, ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of Job, of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. What is the end of Job? If you went from chapter 1 and 2 all the way to chapter 42, the man who had lost 7,000 of these, 3,000 of these, 500 of these, 500 of these, and 10 children. You know what it says in Job, the book of Job, chapter 42? God blessed him with not 7 that he lost, but 14,000 of these. You know, he's got the sheep, the camels, and all that. The 7,000 to 14,000. And the 3,000, now he was blessed him with 6,000. And then the 500 and 500, now he has 1,000 of each. And he gave him 10 more children. I'm not saying God always restores. But God recorded that, what he did for him. Why? I'm taking care of you. You'll be all right. Trust me, he blessed him. Some ask, well, why didn't he give him 20 more kids? He doubled everything else. He gained 10 more. He lost 10. You can't replace those 10. They still matter. You see, the 7,000 sheep. See, now he gave him 14. Well, he replaced the 7,000 he lost, and he gave him 7,000 more. 14. But now when you come to the kids, there's no replacing those 10 kids. He just added. So, yes, he ended up with double. I have 20 kids. 10 that I lost, but 10 that I have now. God is faithful. God blesses his children. He gives us encouragement to go on with a renewed spirit. You know, with a perspective on eternity. And I'll close with this one. How's that? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I mean it. I mean it. My legs are crossed, but I mean it. I like these three verses, and then we'll close. I know I've run over. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice with me verses 16 to 18. It says, for which cause we faint not. Paul speaking to these believers at Corinth in this letter he's writing. For which cause, if the reason is, this is why we don't faint, we don't drop. But though our outward man may perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, that's what he refers to it as. Whatever you go through, comparatively speaking, certainly in comparison to hell, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, the time of life. You say, well, I've got this guy here, Mark. He was 25. He died in his 50s. Wasn't he in his 50s, sir? Yeah. He had 25, 30 years, let's say, of life in that condition. You say, that's awful. That's almost a lifetime. It was that much time in a scope of time, in a scope of eternity. For a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, temporary, what we see, what we experience in this life. But the things which are not seen are eternal, spiritual. Heaven's forever. this is only temporary. Hang on, brother. Hang on, sister. It's all just temporary. We'll enjoy the ups. God will get us through the downs. But may God get glory out of our lives. May we not fuss. May we not be angered. May we understand that a loving Heavenly Father has a reason, and I'm just to trust. And God, give me a peace and a joy. And we'll get through this. And heaven awaits. To the glory of God. Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We come to a time we call invitation. You're invited, if you'd like, come to the front, spend some time on your knees on the altar. We've got some padded knee things here. You can pray right where you're at. It's not the geography that matters. It's the heart condition. God wants to hear from you. Number one, are you saved? Do you know for sure you died to go to heaven? Or would you go to hell? Maybe you don't have that assurance. Can I tell you quite simply, as we mentioned before, you're a sinner in need of a Savior. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You come short. You're not getting into heaven. I don't care how close you think you are. You're coming short like the rest of us. And the penalty is hell. There'll be no sin in heaven. Call upon the name of Jesus by faith. The Bible tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you do that? If you don't have that assurance, would you pray this prayer right now? You and God now. You're saying these words to God with all sincerity. God, I know I'm a sinner. The Bible says so. For all have sinned. I also know that I'm condemned because of my sin. For we are condemned already, the Bible says. And we're condemned to a place called hell for eternity. I realize and recognize that, Lord, but I also see in the Bible where it says, you love me. Jesus, you went to the cross and took my place. It was the only way my sins could be paid for and I could be forgiven. And so right now, dear Jesus, best I know how, I'm asking you to please forgive me of all my sins and save my soul. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Now, trust if you prayed that prayer, you'd believe God to save you, forgive your sins, you'd believe God and live for him. Make some changes that'll please him. Live for him. Saved your soul by faith. And for we that are saved, I mean, we got nothing to boast about. We have to call upon Christ to save us too. May we walk in a way that's pleasing to him and acknowledging that there is tough times in life. Suffering's coming. But there's purpose in every bit of it. May our response please our God. So these next several minutes while the piano's playing, again, you're welcome to come pray at the altar, pray where you're at. But these next minutes are you and God. What is it he wants to hear from you? What is the response he's looking for this morning as the music plays?